of the nobles. He was probably, no, he was a Judah, but, and he was probably close to the kingly line, but we don't know that 100% sure. So basically, here's the historical setting before we get into these three men. Now let's turn to Daniel 1:1. Daniel 1:1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, that's the second one who served for 11 years. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, in Jeremiah 25, verse 1, it says that the fourth year of Jehoiakim was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. And here we're talking about the third year of Jehoiakim. So Nebuchadnezzar, according to this, had not started to reign yet, although Daniel was carried over to Babylon. This is the first of four carrying aways. And Daniel was the one, that carrying away is the one that started the 70 years. This verse 1:1 of Daniel started the 70 years. 20 years later, the 70 years of the desolations of the land started. And Scripture is so exact on it, down to the month. The fact that he dates these two kings of 3 months apiece, you have to add those in. And it's amazing how accurate it all comes out when you look at charts of this time period. But so we can see Daniel was carried away. He was one of the first to ever get carried away. Then let's go to Ezekiel 1:1. And it says, now it came to pass in the 30th year. Again, if you date it back to the 18th year of Josiah, that's 30 years. And Bullinger made a point of that. And by the way, I'd come up with that on my own, and then I read it. It's always nice when somebody backs up what you found on your own, too. But, yeah, then I read later that he said the same thing. And it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. Let me see. I've got something off here. Jehoiakim only reigned 3 years. Let me see something real quick. 3 months, I mean. I'm gonna have to come back to that later. I'm gonna have to keep going here because I've already contradicted myself here. It says the fifth year. Either way, this was about I want to say 6 years into the 70 years when he went over. But So that was the 30th year since the purging of the temple, in which Ezekiel was a prophet and he was a priest. He was a prophet priest. So that year would have been significant to him. That was a spiritual thing, the reviving of the purging of the temple and the reviving of the true worship. So that would have been a big day. Manasseh had set up all kinds of satanic things right inside of the temple. And it took Josiah to take care of that problem. Now, in Jeremiah 1:1, it says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, right outside Jerusalem. Anathoth was real close to Jerusalem, where the priests, all of the priests, that was a main city for them. And it was destroyed, long before the 70 years started. A couple of years, Nebuchadnezzar came in and they wiped out all of the cities, Lachish and different cities, and Jerusalem came last. But Anathoth was wiped out, and the priests had to go to Jerusalem after that. They had no place of refuge. To whom the word of the Lord came in verse 2 of Jeremiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So that's when Jeremiah started. He was the oldest of the three. That's when he started, in the 13th year of Josiah. And we saw that he reigned 31 years. Let's read verse 3. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So, we see all four of those kings that came after Josiah. Jeremiah ruled all of that time, and even past that time. After Jerusalem was taken, there was a lot of things that happened after that with Jeremiah. He even went down to Egypt. And I don't think he was there that long, but I don't know. But, So this is before the 70 years started, obviously, the 13th year, you know. So, it gives us a little bit of background about these three men. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 4, it says, and I've already lost my tab. I don't know how I did that. Ezekiel chapter 4 says, and verse 1, thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. This is over in Babylon. See, he had already been exiled, as we already said. So here's Ezekiel in Babylon. And it says, lay siege against it and build a fort against it and so forth. He's making a prophecy against Jerusalem. This is right before Jerusalem was destroyed. This passage of Scripture. Right before it. And he's telling him to lay on your side for 300. Let's go ahead and read verse 4. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of house of Israel upon it, according to the number of days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. And according to what I believe, the 390 years coincides with the 390 years of the kings after Solomon died. There were three kings that was over all of Israel, the north and the south. Saul, David, Solomon. Then the kingdom split. So the 390 years started right at the end of Solomon's reign. Verse 6, and when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. So 390 and 40. That's 430 years. Each day counts for a year. And that's what he says. I have appointed thee each day for a year. So he was prophesying in Babylon, but how did the message get to Jerusalem? Here he is 700 miles away, takes about a month. You know, if you go by camel, they can do about 25 miles a day. But it's possible that they use carrier pigeons or something like that. And I looked it up. I just Googled it today. Looked up. There is an account of a carrier pigeon all the way in Egypt, all the way back to 1350 B.C. There's an account of it in Persia, which is that the king used for his kingdom, you know, all of the provinces and 127 provinces we read about and so forth. He had to keep in touch with those people somehow. And that's recorded in history. Now, the longest that I saw in there, the farthest any carrier pigeon had ever flown was 7,200 miles, and it took 24 days. So 700 miles isn't, you know, they could do that in 2 or 3 days. So that just to say, here's Ezekiel prophesying in Babylon against the people 700 miles away. So somehow it got to them. The word got to them. So then now the 40 years, lay on your side for 40 years, was the time that Solomon reigned. He took over after David. David was a man after God's own heart. But from day one of Solomon's reign, he had the Nephilim seed line coming into Israel. The reason we know that is Rehoboam, his oldest son, was 41 years old when he began to reign. Well, that means that he had him right when he started reigning in the 40 years, or just before the 40 years. And his mother's name was Naamah, and she was an Ammonite. That was his first wife. So what that tells us is all 40 years of Solomon's reign, and it tells us a lot of all of the things he set up, right? As people entered the city, here's all of these tributes to all of these different gods, and it stayed there for all those years till Josiah wiped it out. So here I'm saying that those 40 days has to do with the 40 years of Solomon. Now, there's more on that, but I'll leave it with that. And I've already told you that, I believe that, in my studies on chronology. All right, now let's go to Ezekiel 14 and verses 13 and 14. And it's already 7. Let me see. Ezekiel 14, verse 13. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast. So these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saying the Lord. So here we can say that Ezekiel knew Daniel. We're talking about these three men who were contemporaneous with each other. So we can say at least I don't think he ever met him. Well, he could have. He wasn't. Shushan the palace wasn't too far away. He probably did meet Daniel, but who knows. And Job, here we see how righteous Job was. is also mentioned in the same company. So, let's see, 13, 14. All right, let's go now down to 28, chapter 28 of Ezekiel, and verses 1 through 3, to keep following up on this. Ezekiel 28, we know this is talking to King of Tyrus, who was a type of Satan. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sat in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. And in the note he said, in your own mind you are. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel, this king of Tyrus. Yeah, he handled all the merchandise that came in and out of Egypt by the Mediterranean Sea. And it all came through Tyre at one time. And he really thought he was the greatest thing that ever was, the king. But here we see another reference to Daniel about his wisdom. Daniel was a wise man. So, you know, that gives us a little bit of a rundown on Daniel already, you know, before we get into the study of the book itself. But now let's turn to Daniel chapter 9 and verses 1 and 2. Daniel 9 says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So this started 20 years later again, this 70 year of the desolations. But the point I'm making here is Daniel and Jeremiah were familiar with each other, although I doubt if they met. But maybe before Daniel went off, it's real possible. Before he went off, maybe they met. And by the way, this verse here proves that there had to be 70 years from the verse 2 Chronicles 36:20 all the way to this verse in Daniel 9, 1 and 2. This proves there had to be 70 years, not less, exactly. Okay. Now, Ezekiel chapter 7, and I'm reading a lot out of Ezekiel it seems their verses gives me more of what I'm trying to get across of what was happening at the time of these three prophets. Ezekiel chapter 7 and verses 1 to 3 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Also thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel. So he's not talking to the people, he's talking to the land. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come unto me, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. So I just read verses 1 through 3. And I know it's hard for you to follow me there, Chico. Sorry about that. So, you know, we call America, you know, the motherland maybe, or German, don't they call it the fatherland? And, but when you talk about the land in, you know, as being an entity like that, it's like saying, America, you're going to pay for your sins. You know, that's one way to say, you know, one example. Or, you know, you can talk about America as an entity like that and not the people specifically. But when it comes to the land of Israel, it's different because it's more spiritual, because this was chosen by God specifically for these people only. So this takes on a much deeper significance. And it had to do with an inheritance. This has to do with an inheritance. So, okay, then, all right, now let's turn to Ezekiel 22, verse 30. It says, should be a familiar verse to some of you, Ezekiel 22, 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. So, I wonder what that verse means, because, you know, you have the three. You have Daniel, who is totally righteous, and the other two we talked about, and he's saying, I sought for a man. But this was a man that could stand in the hedge and make up the gap. So I'm thinking maybe this is talking about the four kings, because they could have made a difference. It was Manasseh who corrupted Israel, remember? The kings could make a difference. They could stand in the hedge and make up a gap. So, you know, and because of these kings that Israel failed. So maybe this prophecy is talking against, you know, whatever king happened to be in at the time. But, you know, the fact is, the Lord is just. He's the potter, we're the clay. We don't say, Lord, why did you form me the way you did it? You know, this is the way it happened in Israel. They failed, but God was just. He went on and on to tell them why I'm doing the things I'm doing. And after many, many long-suffering years of telling them to listen to your prophets and so forth. But God is just. No matter what happens in your life, don't question God. Sometimes I say, I wonder why the Lord allowed this to happen to me in my life. You know, I've said that before, I'll admit. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I think what he means by that is, you know, if the Lord slays me, he had a righteous, you know, he had a reason for it. And I, you know, I still trust him for whatever I, you know, good I did do, he's going to hold me, you know, in good stead for that. But, you know, it's a hard thing. Men always want to question God and not give him the final say. I knew a man who, his son died, and you couldn't talk to this guy. If you mentioned the word God, he started cursing God. You know, oh, no, don't you bring up God to me. Any God who would allow that to happen, and he was talking about his son, and yeah, I don't have words to tell you, you know. And anyway, you wouldn't get one sentence in with this guy when it came to God. And as I said, there's only 3 out of 43 kings that, you know, actually believed, put their trust in him 100% like that, and maybe that's a percentage 3 and 43, there's not, you know, among Christians maybe, there's not many who would give their life for the Lord and lay down everything, you know, and trust Him no matter what in their lives. It's not an easy thing to do, but once you get to that point, it's something special. It's very special in your life that you can trust the Lord, and it comes from hearing and studying of the Word. So that's kind of a little bit of a historical setting, but let's turn to Daniel. If you will, turn to chapter 1 of Daniel. I just want to point out one thing here. But we're going to go back a page. And in the notes before Daniel in the Companion Bible, you'll see an outline of the book of Daniel. So, now in this outline, it doesn't bring out the fact that there are a division of 6 and 6. The first 6 chapters are historical. The last 6 chapters are prophetic. Some of the prophecies have already taken place, but some of those prophecies in Daniel are still future, as you all well know. And it leads on into the book of Revelation. But if you look at this outline, the first 6 chapters, it pretty much shows you what they, and you're familiar with all of these things. You know, like the second one, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and he built that big statue and the clay and the iron and the gold and all of that of this statue. The next one was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. The next one was the Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel had a dream about Nebuchadnezzar, and he was going to be for 7 years eating grass and so forth. Then the next one, let's see, what was that? Oh, yeah, that was, in fact, I should turn to that one, but let me see. Yeah, I am. I'm going to turn to that. It's the last verse in chapter 5 of Daniel, Daniel 5:31. Daniel 5:31, let's start in verse, I'm going to read verses 29 through 31. Then commanded Belshazzar, this was of the line of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, it said, you know, the 70 years he would reign had to do with his sons also. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now, if we look farther into this, Darius the Median, in the appendices and so forth, we'll see that it's one and the same as Ahasuerus in Artaxerxes, and by this verse, you can date the book of Esther. So that's special to me. I think that's amazing how Scripture has so many jewels in it that helps us along. And then finally, in chapter 6, it talks about the Daniel in the lion's den. So that, you know, that gives you, you kind of know the book, the outline, I should say, of the book. To go through it verse by verse would take, I don't know how many lessons, but I'm probably not the man for that. But then in, after that, it talks about there's 2 major prophecies, and that does, I'm not much on prophecy, I can tell you, Carolyn. You don't want to, you know, I can tell you what I think, but
is on the screen.
I'm not sure what these notes are about. What the point here is.
The 77s.
Okay.
I got you. Okay.
All right. So, that kind of gives you a little bit of background about the men themselves and the dating. Now, there's one other thing I'd like to tell you that I think is extremely interesting. Now, when we read in Daniel, the third year of Jehoiakim, that, and it did not mention Nebuchadnezzar yet, because we said it was in Jehoiakim's fourth year, that was his first year. But history doesn't say it that way. Scripture says it that way, but historians believe he co-reigned with his father 5 years before that. When it got to Daniel was just about the time his father died, and he went back to Babylon for his funeral, make somebody a king, not inauguration, but I forget the word. But anyway, so they made him king there. Here's my point. The dating of the temple at 587 B.C. is based on the 37th year of Nebuchadnezzar. And then they say, well, in the Bible, it says in the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he started to come down on Jerusalem. So they use those two dates to come up. They use those two facts to come up with 587. The fact is, they're cheating because they know that history doesn't look at the 18th year of the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar the same way history does. But they'll use it, they'll quote it to help prove their theories, whereas nowhere else will they ever use scripture. But here they'll go ahead and use it. And the fact that I knew about this is how I knew where to find the date of the 37th year of Jeremiah on VAT 4956. And there's a lot that came out of that people who study astronomy even could learn. There's things that comes out of that even the greatest astronomers today don't know or wouldn't admit if they saw it. But either way, the fact that I downloaded the program for the year 510 BC, I knew what year it was just based on the fact of, the difference in reckonings of the 37th year of his reign. Anyway, it turns out that Mars is the only planet that didn't check out. It was 3 months off. But every other planet was exact. Saturn, Jupiter, not Neptune or Uranus, Saturn, and Mars, and Venus. So, in this VAT 4956, it talks about things that happen in the stars, things that happen in the 37th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Velikovsky talks about how Mars left its orbit. Also, the Mayans have records of how Mars slipped off its orbit and how it eventually over the years came back and got into an orbit. So anyway, I'm just throwing that out. I don't know, it sounds interesting because I believe that things can back up scripture. I believe things on the earth can back up scripture, not the other way around. So, anyway, that's kind of a introductory before we could get into Daniel, just so you can see historically what was going on at the time. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and close in a word of prayer, and thank you all for listening in tonight. Our Father, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you've given us. Lord, we pray that we can put our trust in you in all things, that you have everything under control in our lives, and we have nothing to fear because you're not the author of fear. And we thank you for your word and for what it means in all of our lives, how it has brought us closer to you. And we pray for those who are in need tonight. Put your hand on them. We pray all these things in your gracious heavenly name. Amen.